Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
One, two, three, four.
Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going.
Well, how are you? Welcome back. It's a very busy Tuesday, acting like it's a Monday. Traffic really light. Mary Vandeveld.
Not anymore.
We'll explain that it's not at all. That's my point. Traffic's a hot mess.
Yeah, school's back in session.
It's a hot mess. That's my point.
I predict it's going to be a busy day.
Andrea is back from wandering the globe, as always. Nice to see you.
It's good to be back. Thanks.
And Dave, got a big Northwestern win this weekend?
Yep. 1-0.
Go Cats.
Rough first half, but you knew they had it in them. And they came back and... Hey, he's a technical term here. They kind of bitch slapped Nevada in the second half.
Okay, I don't know if I would use that.
I heard you say it, Dave. I heard you say it.
Did I say it in the broadcast?
Yeah, I heard it.
I
heard
have
it.
To watch that.
And Bears opening week. Yep. So lots happening. Why don't we jump in? Top six at six. Ready? Go.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60-Minute Man.
Item number one, Irma, Hurricane Irma, 150-mile-an-hour winds bearing down on the southeast first. Computer models show that it's likely to head away from southeast mainland United States. But could turn left at any time. As a matter of fact, several models have it gradually turning left already. Cuba is in danger. Haiti is in danger.
Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico is in danger. And eventually South Florida as well. There's almost no chance it goes hard left, heads into the Gulf, and heads for Houston, which would be everybody's concern. But it's bad news all around. The good news at 150 miles an hour, if it hits any land at all, even as small as Haiti is, it will slow the storm down. It'll break it up and slow it down. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But it's bad news. It's bad news. It's big. It's ugly. And didn't hurricane season just start?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. It's awful.
Don't like the way it's shaping up, kids. We'll obviously watch it a week. The earliest it would make landfall in Cuba is allegedly Friday night or Saturday morning. So we move on. To North Korea. Oh, this Kim Jong-un. Any fun? What a swell little guy. You think it's the anger over the haircut?
I don't know. I thought I'd come back and things would have changed. Oh,
no,
not so much.
No. Turns out Kim Jong-un and his wacky band of scientists have come up with some sort of significant bomb. He's claiming a hydrogen bomb. There's some disputes over how strong it was. But a buried nuclear, allegedly nuclear-ready device went off, creating an earthquake of some magnitude. 6.2, mm-hmm. was it? 6.5? Mm-hmm.
Yep, it was over 6.
So that's a big, earth-shaking situation, literally. So it had to be a significant explosion.
Big time. And you know who I'm enjoying listening to out of all of this? Not Kim Jong-un, not Donald Trump, Nikki Haley.
Nikki
Haley. Every time she comes up and she starts, you know, when she said, you're begging for war.
She basically, her speech her speech at the UN yesterday could have been titled, you want some of this?
Yeah.
You want some of this? Why don't you talk to the kids at the house? Let me tell you something.
Very impressed with her reaction to all this.
Listen, I think she's been, and we always talk about the generals, I think she's been impressive since she took the job. At any rate, North Korea is sitting there gloating, and there's not a damn thing we can do about it. Unless you want to start a nuclear war, there's no way to shut this little creep up. I'm sure that all the meetings are taking place now. Well, somebody's got to kill him. Who's going to kill him? Who's up for killing him? But then you got to get Jack Bauer into North Korea to do it and try to get him out safely. It's not a TV show, kids. It's actually happening, and it's an impossible situation.
How about we get Nikki Haley like Linda Hamilton in Terminator 2? She starts pumping up.
I don't remember Terminator 2. I just got used to the Wonder Woman thing where you spin around like 14 times, and then you throw a rope on somebody.
Hey, if it works with Kim Jong-un.
I'm with you.
Let's do it.
Next. President Trump is likely to announce, or is Jeff Sessions likely to announce, the potential end of the DACA program today. The Dreamers Act was argued to be non-constitutional when the president put it into effect. That argument has sort of lingered in the background. One of the reasons it supposedly was brought up now is because there are several federal lawsuits involving it that could have been folded in. The president yesterday said, or at least hinted over the weekend, that today there'd be an announcement saying it would end. Here's how it ends. He throws it back into Congress. Now, I think we all know how I feel about Donald Trump. This is the absolute right move if you're going to bring it up. Make Congress make the decision. Make Congress come up with it. Our immigration system, kids, it is screwed up.
It's broken big time.
I have a friend, and I would consider this woman I'm going to tell you about a friend as well, who is highly trained, highly educated. She's from Spain. She works here in the greater Chicago area, and she's about to be kicked out of the country. Mm-hmm. To take all of her knowledge and all of her skills, even though she's done all the right things, and she was on a temporary work visa, there's a lottery to try to figure out a way, a cash lottery, by the way, to figure out a way to get back into the country or to stay in the country under the current circumstances she's in. Mm-hmm. There ought to be a way for her to achieve citizenship so we can use her talents and her considerable brain and her brain power. So it's not fair to her. However, you don't fix the entire immigration problem by kicking out kids who didn't ask to come here.
No, absolutely. Channel 9 did a nice piece over the weekend, too, on a doctor at Rush who was brought here when she was a child to California, traveled to Chicago, about 5 or 6 years old, has been here ever since, has two doctoral degrees, and is highly effective in finding new research, you know, developing new research for cures for diseases at Rush.
And they're going to kick this doctor out of the country?
Well, she's in danger of being kicked out now, yeah.
So it's not fair to them. It's not fair to the people who have gotten in line and done it legally. None of that is. But it's also unbelievably unfair, and it doesn't fix anything if you kick out a bunch of kids, a lot of whom only know this country as their home. Figure out a way. We're the United States. Figure out a way to create a program that doesn't exploit the others and take advantage of those who have done it the right way and give these kids an opportunity to do it the right way as well.
Absolutely.
It's worth repeating, too, that the reason the DACA program came into effect is that Congress didn't act on this back then. That's why Obama did it. So are they going to do something this time? I don't know.
Well, it goes back to Reagan.
Yeah.
The last time there were significant immigration rule changes was with Ronald Reagan.
Mm-hmm. That's when he provided amnesty, right?
Right. So yeah. You got Bush, Clinton, mm-hmm. Bush, Obama.
Right.
Nobody did it. They all failed.
Mm-hmm.
So Congress, step up. Here's your opportunity. So I'm not against it. Wow. I throw up a little in my mouth when I say this. I'm not against what President Trump's doing here.
Right. But just do it in the right way. Jeff
right.
Sessions speaking.
And
10,
by the way, step up and say it yourself. Don't put Barney Fife out
right.
there to do it. Jeff Sessions supposedly announcing it today.
Well, did you hear the trial balloon that was floated last night, by the way, on this?
No.
There were GOP sources quoted by Politico who say that part of this thinking is that we will give you DACA in return for the wall funding. Those were GOP legislative sources who say that they would vote to put the DREAM Act into effect if the Democrats give the funding for the wall. So basically holding the Dreamers hostage over.
Well, you think about the irony of that. We don't need the wall. The wall is purely political. The DACA legislation, if it is fact, becomes legislation and law, is about real human lives and is a political win, but it actually affects people. The wall would be simply a drain of cash.
Right. Oh, big time. Especially if we pay for it.
It's a big, beautiful wall. No, Mexico's paying for it. Did you not see that?
I know. What am I thinking?
Come on, jeez. Please.
Eventually.
Get on board.
And Congress is back at work today. The work that they do with the approval rating of a foot fungus. Next.
Did they get a good rest?
Oh, I hope so. They get so tired. Chicago Public Schools, Mary Vanderbilt said back in session today, the high school graduation rate is on the way up. The mayor was here while you were out, Andrea, mm-hmm. and says hello.
Oh,
and touted all the successes by way of Chicago's education system, short of funding, budgets, and pensions, that have gone well. And right. He's not wrong about those.
Free L rides today, too. Free CTA.
For the kids.
For the kids.
Yeah.
This
isn't like a.
Not
mayor.
For us.
This isn't a mayor or a Governor Blagojevich thing
no.
where he gives free L rides to old people that don't want them.
To everybody.
I remember how mad my mother was when that happened.
My mom loved it.
Well, your mom didn't need it any more than mine.
Oh, absolutely. No,
it's
absolutely
just about a political move. I say he had 12 more years to him just for that.
Oh.
And then there's this. Illinois spent millions and millions and millions. Here's another example of how finely tuned the Springfield machine is on stalled and canceled university construction projects. 8 years after a massive capital plan for university campuses in the state, half of the largest new projects at state schools either never began or are now canceled or indefinitely halted. In all, the state put more than $14 million towards five major higher education projects. And by the way, those don't happen in a vacuum. You have to hire construction companies, and those construction companies have to set aside time, and contracts are signed. And if those contracts are not fulfilled on either end, penalties are paid. So this $14 million is money we just threw in the street.
Right. The bond funds that were supposed to pay for the projects ran out, and when they passed a new budget last month, or in July, rather, they didn't include any of the items among the expenditures approved in the new budget.
Western Illinois, well, why throw that in now, right? Yeah. We have more money we can waste. Western Illinois put $4 million on preliminary plans for 130,000 square foot performing arts center. That's on hold. The university said the cost of the $72 million project has increased by $10 million because it took too long to fund it.
Oh. Well, they had 2 years away.
We can't make it up. We can't make it up. A couple of bonus items. Princess Kate and William expecting baby number three. Hey, Willie, get a hobby, man. Stop chasing your wife around. This is not good news for Harry. Harry drops down a rung now on the old I get to be king ladder.
Sure.
The new ranking's out this week. He's down one.
Is he fifth?
Yes.
That's the coach's bowl.
That's the coach's.
That's the coach's bowl. We'll get Paul Coit on to try to explain this. There's one. If he drops one more rung, I think it's sixth. He could marry anybody he wants without the queen's permission.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
True?
Yeah.
Who, Harry?
Yeah, right now he's got to go to the queen to get a pat on the head.
Right.
If he goes
blessing,
down to sixth.
The blessing.
You know, it's kind of a shame. He's kind of turned his life around, too. He's become like a decent guy. You remember
he's
he
been
be
phenomenal. If you watch the Diana videos. How much do you love that guy?
No kidding. And what are the games he started? The Invictus games? The first for athletes and war and wounded warriors.
Was that Willie or was Harry?
That was Harry.
Yeah, Harry started something. Yeah, but he's going out with that Meghan Markle, you know, the
actress. Well, is that a bad thing? Right.
That's a good thing.
She's good.
She's good. Everyone likes her.
And let's go live to Dave at Wrigley Field, where Arietta is still limping off the field. That's how long it's taking him to leave. How badly is he hurt?
Well, actually, I'm in Pittsburgh, Steve.
I don't know what you're doing in Pittsburgh. Jake Arietta plays for the Cubs. He's at Wrigley.
Yes, and That happened in Pittsburgh.
It did?
Yes.
They're recreating.
Let's go live to Dave at Pittsburgh right now. Dave's outside the old
PNC
Three Rivers.
Park. No, it's PNC Park, Steve.
That park's
right
beautiful.
By the
That's a
confluence
beautiful
of the Monongahela, the Allegheny, and the Ohio.
Oh. Later, Dave has an exclusive with Willie Stargell and Roberto Clemente.
And Bill Madlock.
And Bill Madlock. And Manny Sanguian.
Jake Arrieta had to come out of the game, clutched at his leg as he tried to throw a warm-up pitch after complaining of tightness in his hamstring, said after the game, he doesn't think it's bad. Might have been a cramp. They're not sure. They're going to wait and see how he feels this morning before deciding whether to do an MRI exam.
But how old is he?
Jake is, he's 30, just about 30, 31, 32, somewhere in there.
Baseball years, you double that, so he's 62.
Yeah.
He's in
as good a shape as anybody.
But it's a similar move that I make when I get out of a chair. I clutch at my, at my loins and go, what was that?
He got a cramp. I feel bad for the guy.
Dave, is it true? Did I hear him say he's never felt this kind of pain before?
He did say it was something unusual for him.
He said that or I said that? Because I said that.
When you got out of the chair.
When I got out of the chair. Yeah. Okay. There you go with an extended jam.
Reporting live from Pittsburgh.
I really think you ought to be in front of Wrigley for this story. And good luck there at Three Rivers.
PNC.
PNC, that one too. It's the fine people at American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men that bring you the top six at six. Got a great story about my brother coming up. And then later today, there will be the first of two summit meetings between my granddaughter, Abigail Grace, and her, would it be her second cousin?
Oh, a play date?
If it's my niece and her husband have a new baby. So if it's my niece, that would make her baby.
Your great niece or great nephew.
But wait, my niece is Ross's cousin.
Mm-hmm.
So the kids would be second cousins?
Right.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
Cousin once removed?
Wow, gave myself a headache. Anyway, she's 2 or 3 months younger than Abigail.
Oh.
This little girl named Harper. Abigail talks up a storm.
Yeah.
It's not just high pops. I mean, come on. but she's got, you know, her grandfather's natural athletic abilities.
Yeah, of course. Her, his prowess.
Meaning none.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning
hamstrings.
She's got to work at it. So, yeah. It's funny. Ross had a video of her running down the hall the other day.
Yeah.
And Maureen said, it looked like you running. I said, well, how do you remember?
It's hard to run in diapers. Oh, not yours, Steve.
You know, mine are aerodynamic. She ran, and she kind of went from one side of the hall to the other. But, you know, remember when you were a little kid and you'd run, and you thought you were running as fast as any human had ever run before?
And you weren't going anywhere. It was like running in place.
Yeah. So couldn't have been cuter. But I'm wondering if Harper will inspire Abigail to great athletic heights, and Abigail will inspire Harper to be more verbal. Harper doesn't talk a lot. She just runs around and stuff.
Yeah.
Both incredibly cute. Harper's a really cute little
girl. So they'll inspire each other.
So they're going to go to Shed later.
Nice, yeah.
We have a summit meeting, and I'll report back to you.
Good.
Jake, how's your little niece doing? Jake's niece is about the same age as these girls.
Yeah, she's 1 month older, not even 3 weeks older than Abigail Gray. She's doing great. She's unbelievable and ridiculously smart. And I'm not just saying that because it's my niece, but she is very advanced. And I don't know where she gets that from, because me and my brother, not that smart.
I'll back that up. Jake's not that smart.
No.
I'd back that up completely.
Gets it all from my sister-in-law, I assume.
And how are we doing, Vanderbilt, on your grandparent front?
She's rolling over.
She being your granddaughter.
Yes, my granddaughter, yes. Corinne, is rolling over.
That's
now.
Great.
She's getting so cute. She's 3.5 months old. Oh, smiling, laughing.
That's great.
Looks like me. No, kidding. She doesn't.
Well, I
the nickname, by the way, Mary's nickname is stuck, too. Grandmary.
No, you're the only one that's calling me Grandmary.
It's stuck.
It's kind of good.
Grandmary. I don't know.
Yeah. I love it.
Grand
I
anything
like
is
that.
A little, yeah, I don't know, large.
What would you prefer? Do you have a name you choose?
No, nothing yet. Wait, you
gotta
see what comes out of her mouth.
You got to admit, Pops is pretty strong.
I love Pops.
Pops is cute.
Love Pops.
Yeah. You know, and again, as always, being a black entertainer, it seems
of
to fit.
Of course, yeah. I like how Spike's grandkids call him Grand Dude.
Dude, no, just dude.
Just dude, yeah.
Just dude, yeah.
Because it started out being Grand Dude, and they just say dude.
When we did the first class for the Walk of Fame,
yeah.
And those cute little kids ran in yelling, dude!
Dude! That's awesome.
Tremendous.
Yeah.
All right, 6:32. We'll come back. Kid of the Week time after the big story. A quick break before that. We also have Doc Most on, special edition of Doc Most for a Tuesday. Ryan Noble's later from CNN. And the Chicago Bears wideout, Kevin White, will be on in the 9 o'clock hour this morning. We got some questions for him, including, did you hear what Fox said about the receivers? No confidence in the receivers.
Well, he's got to figure out who the guys are in this receiving corps who are going to step up. It's a big year for Kevin White.
Yeah.
I mean,
this is your prove it year.
Year three.
Yep. All right, at 6:32, we'll do all that coming up on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
How about Notre Dame? That struggling little program. They did all right this
Temple.
Weekend?
They beat Temple pretty handily.
Yes.
Now they get Georgia next week.
Before we get back to Mary for an update on the cars on the first day of school, let's meet Chloe Morrissey, this week's Allstate Kid of the Week. Hi, Chloe.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Are you ready for school?
Yeah, this is the earliest I've woken up for school so far.
And what grade are you?
I'm a sophomore.
All right, so this will be a fun year for you, and then next year is a tough year where you have to really make those grades happen, and then senior year you goof off. You got the plan down?
No, not totally.
Exactly.
Chloe's an outstanding golfer. She's been playing since she was 5 years old. Who taught you how to play at five?
Oh, my dad got me into it at first. And then I started playing at the first tee, and that's pretty much what brought me up until I started doing lessons. And I got serious about it when I was about 7th or 8th grade.
And are you playing in IJGA tournaments and things like that?
Yeah, this summer was like my first really, really competitive summer through the IJGA, and I did really well. I qualified for a lot of big tournaments.
And any trophies you have to show for the effort?
Oh, plenty, yeah.
Well, good for you. Where's your home course?
Bittersweet. That's where my high school.
Okay.
Home course.
All right. And so you must be on the varsity team, I assume, right?
Yeah. I made our varsity for my freshman and sophomore year so far.
See, I don't know the answer to this. We used to, you know, when I played golf in school, It was your first man, second man, third man, sixth man. How do we refer to that on the women's golf team?
When I was in
your
high
first
school,
woman, second woman?
I think so.
First girl, second girl?
I think we had three girls on the girls' golf team. They were just kind of starting it out, and I'm so happy now that they – you have a full team, right, Chloe?
Yeah, we have six on varsity and six on JV.
Yeah.
So what's the answer? What woman are you?
I'm number one.
Number one. But what's the terminology? How do we refer to that?
Did you say number one and number two?
There you go. Right. All right. Yeah.
Like
don't
first
be an
doubles,
idiot, Steve.
First
you're
singles.
Just number one, you're number two. Chloe's also a caddy at the Merritt Club in Gurnee and wants to be an Evans Scholar in college. Has a strong academic courses at Warren High School and keeps a busy schedule and a high GPA. You also play piano?
Yeah, I've been playing for pretty much my entire life.
It'd be a great way to distract an opponent if you rolled out a baby grand behind you on the course.
No, exactly.
What about guitar? I heard you play a little guitar, too.
I've been learning. It's not really, like, my main focus or anything, but it's cool.
Well, so the long-term goal is to play pro golf, right?
Yeah. Right now, my goal is just to get into a D1 college and play. And
show off your skills.
Illinois.
And, you know, the winner on the LPGA this weekend donated her entire check to Houston Recovery, $195,000.
Yeah, that's incredible.
That's pretty awesome. Nice. Anyway, we just wanted to tell people your story because it's great that you have this kind of focus at 15 and you're doing all this stuff to make it happen, going forward in your life.
Thank you so much.
The Evans Scholars, of course, are the beneficiaries. What did he say? The beneficiaries of the BMW Championship. And that's coming to Conway Farms in a week. That's the kind of thing that'd be nothing. Great. Are you going to that tournament?
Yeah, I'm actually giving a speech for the first tee at that tournament.
Well, of course you are.
With Luke Donald and Sergio Garcia.
No, it's just a bonus.
Oh, yeah, that's a bonus.
Well, maybe take a look at their games. Luke's been struggling the past couple of years.
Yeah, big time.
Are you like I was when I was 15? I'd be sitting in school on a beautiful day in the fall, sunny outside. You're thinking, if I get out of school right on time and I hustle, I'll be able to get to the golf course. Or are you guys a fall schedule? Are you a fall or a spring team?
We're a fall team.
Oh, well, you got to practice every day anyway.
Yeah, so that's nice.
Okay. Well, listen, I appreciate you being up and awake and appreciate you being on. We have Lou Malnati's Pizza for you and an Amazon gift card as well. And
thank you so much.
Thanks for being a focused, great kid, and thanks for helping us plug the Evans Scholars.
Thank you.
Have a great day. Isn't she nice? Chloe
She's
Morrison?
Fantastic. That first tee for the organization on behalf of which she's speaking is a wonderful organization.
Absolutely. Opportunity for kids to learn the game.
Yes.
Greatest game ever, that's all. Allstate believes good starts young and works towards inspiring the next generation of youngsters through their full potential and make the world a better place through service as well. Spirit of Allstate's Good Starts Young Initiative. You can nominate a kid of the week as well. Go to WGNradio.com/contest and submit an entry for a youth between 9 and 18 that you think ought to be the Allstate Kid of the Week, and we'll do it every Tuesday. Andrea, had new Irma information?
Yeah, Hurricane Irma is now a Category 5 on the scale. It's strengthened to a Category 5 storm.
It's 155 miles an hour or better?
Yes, 100. Actually, now they're saying 175. Maximum sustained winds, 175 miles per hour or higher. They have just issued a special advisory in lieu of the scheduled intermediate in lieu of the other advisory that we had for Irma. It is expected to slam the Caribbean and possibly the U.S. mainland at some point this week. So, again, it's churning west in the Atlantic. Puerto Rico and the other Caribbean islands could see its wrath by the end of today.
A tentative, it's like a mulligan in golf, or a provisional mulligan as we invented a few years ago. The governor of Florida has declared a state of emergency prep situation in Florida, even though we don't know that the hurricane's going to hit.
Right. Yes, that's correct, which is a smart thing to do, especially, southern Florida.
Yeah, South Florida would be in the bullseye at this point, mm-hmm. but it remains to be seen, and we'll know more by Wednesday, being tomorrow, because, again, this is a Friday night, Saturday thing. At 6:57, let me tell you a quick story about Mickey. So you guys all love my brother, Mickey Cochran. I know you're not that fond of me, but you love Mickey.
Yes,
love Mickey. Yeah. Mickey.
Mickey has special needs. He will be 59 this year and has a great life, as he'll happily tell you. His difficulties academically are largely reading. He doesn't read much, but yet he'll still get on a train and come to Chicago. And partly because he's a real people person, he doesn't have any problem asking people for help. He'll just tell people. I don't read very, as he says, I don't read good. And then I'll ask the questions. So anyway, I get a call from him, and this happens a fair amount. He's the world's most upbeat guy. And as far as his specific diagnosis goes, this is the 60s, small town, and nobody knew what autism was. He's probably in the spectrum, but fairly high functioning.
He always remembers our birthdays. He called me the day before my birthday to say,
he's got
I know
tremendous
your birthday's
detail recall.
Yeah.
And he also is really good with details on little things, which goes with his story. And he's also got a very strongly honed sense of humor. For instance, nothing thrills him more than if I screw up and Amy or Ross will call him and go, hey, guess what your brother did?
Oh.
He loves it. So anyway, I get a call last night, and this is not an unusual circumstance, where he'll go, hey, I just met this person. They want to talk to you. And then I'll hear him go, hey, it's my brother. He wants to talk to you, because he just wants to put people together. So he does that. And, you know, sometimes I'll catch myself being annoyed. And I'll go, oh, really? You don't have 2 minutes for your brother's thing here?
Right.
You know, and then I catch myself. So a woman gets on the phone, and she identifies herself, Linda Ring. Couldn't be nicer. She even spelled her name, which I thought was nice. And at this point, all I know is that somehow this is Mickey's new friend. And I come to find out over the course of a fairly brief conversation that Linda and her husband are from Northbrook. They're fans. They were in Ithaca, New York, to drop off their youngest daughter at Ithaca College, where Mickey busses tables and works part-time.
Yeah.
And Mickey saw them at the coffee shop across the street and noticed the Illinois license plate. Therein lies the detail. And he walks up to them, complete strangers, and tells them, my brother is from Chicago, and tells them about WGN, and they strike up this conversation. He then convinces these two strangers to walk across the street with him so he can show them his room in this halfway house that he lives in, where he's got all the stuff that is important in his life. And he shows them all the Blackhawks stuff that, oh, you know, the Blackhawks have given him, you know, all the various pictures and stuff, shows them Abigail Gray stuff. So this woman gets on the phone, and she goes, I just want you to know, your show's fine, but I love Mickey Cochran.
Oh, that's great.
That's hilarious.
That's fantastic.
So it was so cool to hear that this woman who just met him and her husband, they get him.
Yeah.
They totally get him. They understand. But that's the kind of joy and stuff he brings to the world every day. You know, it's like I told people before. He calls me every morning about 5:15. And, you know, the conversation is 2 or 3 minutes long, and it usually is the list of things he's going to do during the day. And then I'll hear from him in the afternoon, which is great. But he doesn't demand much from anybody.
No.
And he just kind of makes the world a better place just by being Mickey.
He's great.
So this woman goes, listen, he told us he's coming out in November. Keep in mind they're in Northbrook. Said he told us he's coming out in November. I just want you to know, if you're not having him over for Thanksgiving, we are.
We are. Oh, that's cool.
Right. So, the Ring family from Northbrook. Hi
to
everybody
cool.
that does that.
And by the way, she was right.
About?
Well, about the show. About
the show's Mickey, okay, but Mickey's
Mickey,
better.
We do kind of like Mickey a little better.
It's not wrong. It's not wrong. We need a break. Break before the news next, and then Dr. Kevin Moe special edition coming up on 720 WGN.
I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
It's a special edition,
I've got a stomach,
a special before school edition of Dr. Kevin Most. Of course, we weren't on yesterday, Doc.
He's from Central.
And you're sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, as always, making people better by making medicine better. Where are you today?
Today's my clinic day, actually. So I get away from meetings for a portion of the day and get to actually see patients, which is makes my day a little bit more fun.
Yeah, I know you enjoy this and you miss it when you can't do it. By the way, I want to publicly thank Doc. Doc was nice enough to host me at the world-famous Chicago Golf Club the other day. And we had a few good shots here and there, but mostly we were spending time looking for his brother Brad's ball.
Oh, I thought you were going to say bonding, like guy bonding.
Yeah. No, we're hanging out. We had a great time.
We did. Just great company. You know, playing with Brad and playing with Mike Catchmer just makes for a very enjoyable day, regardless how you hit it.
Now, the other day, I also got a note from your older brother, Kurt Most, world-famous Kurt Most, fan of the program, and a pal and a buddy. And Kurt said that you should get some sort of Shot of the Day award because you and the Most Brothers were playing golf the other day. And you apparently drained a 50 or 75 foot putt. There were three items. I don't remember the third, but the one crucial item was you hit Kurt, your brother, on one bounce in the shoulder.
Yep.
Well, where was
wasn't even aiming.
Where was he standing?
He was standing in the fairway, and I was behind a few trees. Yeah.
Did you do what any brother would do? Did you go, you got in the way, the ball would have been 60 yards farther down?
Well, I did. When I went up, I said, okay, I hit you, so where would it have ended up if you'd not been in my way?
Nice. Oh, and by the way, are you okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, thank you again, and Chicago Golf Club, wow, incredible, as always.
Okay.
All right, so listen, let's start with Houston here. This polluted, skanky, nasty water has house parts in it, apartment parts in it, building materials, drywall, raw sewage, rodents, reptiles, you know, pieces of pavement. This is not dissimilar, is it, to the potential damage that was caused by the pile on 9/11?
Yeah, you go right along that and go to Katrina as well, and it's just amazing. We see the pictures, and we just can't fathom it. I mean, look what Lake County got. What, they get 7 inches in 24 hours or something?
Yeah.
And we compare that to this, and the health impact of this is going to be huge. But just amazing when you think about your own garage and 4 feet of water in that, and what chemicals and what paints and toxins that would be sitting in. And the companies that are opening, that have chemicals exposed as well.
So obviously, the EPA needs to be on this, and they have to do whatever they can do to keep people out of it. You certainly don't want to see kids playing in it. You want people to avoid it at all costs. But in the meantime, there's a tremendous amount of medical attention that's going to be need to be paid, not just to people who fall ill because of this water, but to people in general who are dealing with all of the nastiness that comes from this storm. So what are the hospitals doing? I mean, are the hospitals all open?
The hospitals are getting back to being open. A lot of them were expected to be open in the next 2 weeks. But when you really stop and think about it, hospitals that are closed, it's not as easy as, oh, the water's gone, let's open our doors and get back. You know, you have to worry about the facility itself being clean. I can give you an example. Our Lake Forest facility had to close for a couple of days because it flooded. And it took us 4 days to get the state back in there to say, okay, we're going to give you the blessing to open up again. So you can imagine the burden down there. There's so many companies that are doing, you know, the work to clean it up. The strain on those companies of regular hospitals, as well as businesses saying, hey, ServPro or ServiceMaster, we want to hire you to come in and make our place clean again. So, and the staffing, trying to get your staff, these nurses and doctors, their homes are underwater. So how do we get the staff back in place?
So you use an analogy in the notes you sent me, which I think is interesting. There's 73 hospitals in Cook County. They're not all acute care, but imagine if 25 to 50 of them had to close. Because the average, you know, in hotels it's called the occupancy rate, but the average, I don't know what you call it in hospital terms, but the amount of beds that are used for a hospital, what is it, two-thirds most of the time probably?
Yeah, probably a little higher than that. You know, we probably run closer to 80% occupancy, you know, in down season. In the flu season, we're probably up in the mid to upper 90s, if not higher.
If you shut down a third or more of those, that's a problem.
Correct. You know, when we shut down for a day, it's called going on bypass, meaning we don't have critical care beds or we don't have beds, and we have to inform the state that we're going to go on bypass. What happens there is a few patients are shifted to hospitals that are in very close proximity to us. So if you think about that now on a widespread thing like Houston, they were moving patients not 5 miles, not 3 miles. They were moving patients hundreds of miles. So difficult for the patients, difficult for the family members, and think about the care that was disrupted. You know, we had a patient, you're in the middle of a treatment plan, now you're going to a hospital 50 miles away with a new doctor, new facility, and a new plan.
We come back, Andrea's back from her week, and she's got questions for you, and I want to continue with this. And continue to talk about some of the other health concerns that these folks are going to have to be dealing with, because you got to believe the mosquito problem.
Oh my gosh.
is going to be through the roof. Hot weather and all that standing water. 720, more of Dr. Kevin Most just a second, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. And I just hung up on him. So see if you could reestablish Dr. Kevin Most. That was my fault. Show number 981. Putting plans together for show 1000. Lots of people involved. Big, high-level meetings. I'm not invited to any of them, but I'm told they're going well.
I was going to say, they are going well. We haven't seen you with them.
725 now. Let me go back to Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better.
Doc, we are talking about in Houston what to do, what happens when you transfer patients from one hospital to another. There's a new team, new doctors. Are you always on standby? God forbid, if something should happen, do you have extra supplies? How do you prepare for something like that? Again, God forbid something like that happens here, but what if it had to happen?
Yeah, and it's a great question, Andrea, and a lot of lessons were learned with Katrina. If people remember with Katrina what happened and the upset that a lot of people had with the way the patients were treated and how they were transferred. And we, even here in Illinois, we practice this. We practice on the possibility of a mass evacuation. But probably more importantly is think about each of those hospitals that had to evacuate or had to could not get supplies. So a lot of companies have just-in-time, you know, for their inventory management. They don't want to hold a bunch of supplies. They don't want to hold inventory in a warehouse. And the hospitals are the exact same. So we get supplies every single day delivered to us. The impact of us having at least 3 days, if not closer to 5 days, supplies on hand is very important because of things like this. You can imagine that first week, trucks couldn't get in there. You couldn't get supplies to these hospitals. So they had to have something. And then we had generators. Every hospital has backup generators with enough fuel to run for 72 hours. But that went through pretty quickly. So it was quite a mess. But I think kudos to the whole state of Texas and how they rallied together to have a minimal impact on the health, at least for those individuals.
Yeah, and there's certain things there's no way you can prepare for. I mean, I remember we had a 17-inch rainstorm in the western burbs back in the mid-90s. And this is three times that. And I've never seen that much rain. 17 inches in, you know, a day and a half. That 51 inches. You can't plan for that. That's biblical.
Yeah, you can't. And the companies, the other companies can't plan for it either. You know, we can't say, oh, my gosh, I'm not going to be able to get to that hospital. I need a boat to deliver supplies. Well, you know what? All the boats were being used to, you know, evacuate people and working on the health of those individuals. So it certainly was a disruption, and it will hurt. I mean, volumes are going to be down at all these hospitals for quite some time, and costs are going to be up. So the financial strain is going to be there as well.
We're 10 days down the road. Is there a chance we'll find any survivors at this point?
Yeah, you know, I think you're going to find a lot of patients who got great care at other hospitals and were brought back to their home communities and hospitals. And I think you're going to hear some really good stories about the coordinated, excellent coordinated care that was done safely for patients that were critically ill.
Well, that's great. Now, the insect problem, mosquitoes. I remember when I lived in Minneapolis for 5 years, there were gangland mosquitoes. The Minnesota mosquitoes, they had little bandanas on their heads. You know, some of them were flying, carrying boom boxes because it was the 90s. These mosquitoes in Houston, are these going to be disease-carrying types?
Yeah, that's probably the biggest concern. So, again, we go back to Katrina as one of our baselines, and we saw that with Katrina, the number of West Nile cases after Katrina doubled. So here you've got, it's going to be 93 degrees today in Houston. You got standing water and heat, which, you know, the recipe for let's get as many mosquitoes as we possibly can. And you have a lot of birds now that are feeding and eating on stuff on the ground, which is the other vector for West Nile as well as Zika. And you will see a big bump up here. So not a lot we can do. We've cut back on mosquito abatement across this country, and it's going to be interesting to see what the impact is.
Mold, obviously a huge problem wherever there's water. Who makes the call on whether or not a house has to be leveled?
Yeah, you know, the difficult part about a lot of the housing issues right now is it going to be structural where the insurance company comes in? But to be honest with you, it is going to be the mold, because you have, you know, drywall, and people say, oh, well, we'll repair the drywall. Well, they cannot get rid of all the mold spores that are going to be behind these walls. There's not enough bleach in Texas to take care of this issue. And now you're going to start to see the impact of that as, again, this heat comes up. So people with respiratory illness, with asthma, for anybody who has allergies to molds, it's just not going to be a safe environment in many homes and many businesses for quite some time.
What was the other mosquito question?
West Nile and Zika. I know those.
Yep.
We've talked about those in the past, but could this maybe be a resurgence of that?
Absolutely. You're going to see a lot of West Nile, I'm sure, coming up. You know, when Katrina hit, boy, West Nile went through the roof. Zika, in its infancy coming into the States, now is going to have an opportunity, as these mosquitoes are just going to be huge in numbers.
There's a tremendous amount of money involved in this, and, you know, a stress and strain on the healthcare and insurance systems, but on the greater economy in general. This is the fourth largest city in America, right behind us. And you can imagine if a third of Chicago were underwater, what that would be doing. So a lot of this is still to be told, but it makes for a very interesting study on the effects of global warming and, you know, what we maybe need to do to go forward on it. You have to look at some sort of positives to come out of this. I suppose it's an ongoing research project, right?
It is, you know, and it's going to, again, just reinforce the importance of coordination of care in a disaster. Like I said here, you know, tornadoes hit here, impacts here. Impacts can be felt anywhere across the country, whether it's a hurricane, whether it's a blizzard. So from a healthcare point of view, we look at things totally different than a lot of other businesses, because they can't just say, let's just shut down. So we have to make sure that we can ensure that we can take care of these patients safely, transfer them safely, and be ready for to take in patients from other institutions if needed. So, you know, training. And like I said, kudos to the state of Texas and the emergency management there for what they did, because, like you said, this is something that you're going to see in not one lifetime, but probably five lifetimes.
I'm way late here, but I got to ask you this because it's a major news story. The nurse in Utah, this is totally separate here, but the nurse in Utah, yep, who was doing her job and told the police officers, I can't draw blood in this circumstance, and then was taken out and arrested. Anything we're missing on that story?
No, I think, you know, people are going to say, wait a second, what do you mean you can't draw blood on someone that's not conscious? And that nurse was following physician orders or the hospital policy. And when we draw blood on individuals who are unconscious, we're drawing blood to see what we can do to make sure that we can treat what's going on with them with their illness. If she was being asked to draw blood for another reason, and it did not impact the health of that individual, kudos for her for standing up and doing what she should have done. She could have done harm to that patient, so she was doing the right thing and following. And we need to be the backing of these nurses to say, do the right thing for the patient at the right time.
The hospital security sort of stood down when the police were there. I don't know if that's standard operating procedure, but it was disappointing to see the other cops on that patrol didn't step up when this guy was clearly out of control.
Yeah, definitely. And that what you said initially is true. You know, hospital security is not the police force. Hospital security is there to hopefully slow down or eliminate some of the issues with patients and families, but they're not the enforcement. They're not there to do that portion of it. So when police officers come in for a condition like that, hospital security steps back. So we try to de-escalate, and then at the point where the authorities come in, we step back and allow them to take over.
All right, just looking for some clarification. Obviously, patients get their blood drawn in an unconscious state all the time, but this could have gone to criminal evidence, too. So it appears the nurse did everything right, and we'll see where it goes from here.
Yeah, the impact of her having to do it in that exact moment, not necessary.
Right. Yep. The cop was clearly out of control. Thank you. Appreciate it, bud.
You got it. We'll talk to you soon.
Dr. Kevin Most, Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. And the big story is next. It's our friend Ryan Nobles from CNN, who did a great job on the Houston story, which, of course, is an ongoing assignment. Who knows when you'll be asked to go back. But had you ever seen anything like that?
I really haven't, Steve. I've covered my fair share of natural disasters, and I was in East Texas. I've never even made it all the way to Houston. Because we started in New Orleans, and they just sent us west, and we saw how terrible it was in East Texas. I was in Orange, Texas, right over the Texas-Louisiana border, and just to see the neighborhood after neighborhood, water 4 feet high in some houses, and the recovery is just going to take forever. I mean, I think when you take all natural disasters into account, not that we should be ranking them, but I think floods are the most difficult to deal with. The long-term effects take so long to recover. It's really bad. So, I mean, if you've got any inkling in your heart to support the people down there, they're going to need all that and more, because there's just so many people that were so devastated by this tragedy.
The ongoing health problems related to stagnant water, polluted water. We talked about it with our chief medical expert earlier this morning. But what are the other concerns there? Isn't homelessness going to be the major problem now?
Yeah, I don't know if there's any doubt about that. I mean, you're talking about the fourth largest metropolitan city in the country that just took a direct hit from this storm twice, basically. And then you had this overwhelming amount of rain. You know, more than 100,000 people out of their homes, even more than that, just have damaged homes. So, you know, what are you going to do with all these people? I mean, I was started in Lake Charles, Louisiana, and they had set up a shelter for 2,700 people. And within a matter of hours, that shelter was overrun and they had to find another shelter. You know, when I left the area on Saturday, there were still, you know, thousands of people that were not even able to go back and check out to see how bad of condition their homes were in. You know, most of the water's now receded so they can kind of evaluate that situation. But I think I talked to 50 different people over the course of my reporting there in a week, and one person had flood insurance. So the monumental cost that's going to be associated with this rebuild, and not necessarily people who have the resources to do it themselves, it's going to mean a lot of people are going to have to pitch in to get it done, and it's going to take a long time to make that happen.
The politics of this, outside of not knowing when they asked him to put the bucket in the truck, they obviously meant the flatbed, not through the window. President Trump's visit was largely well received. It's a home game for him in Texas, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I was in Trump country, no doubt, especially in East Texas. You know, they were up to give the president the benefit of the doubt. They wanted to see him. I think the way that he handled himself, by and large, was a positive one. He clearly understands that presidencies are often judged by how you handle natural disasters, so I don't think there's any doubt that this is a big part of his focus. But, you know, the reaction to it and the travel there and the saying positive things, that's the easy part. The hard part now comes in exactly what type of aid package are you going to put together that's really going to help the average person. And how do you get that money to them in a way that is usable? And then how do you use the federal government's resources on just a human-to-human level to help people through the transition period from the mess that they have in their front yard to getting their lives back to normal? You remember that, you know, the federal government dropped the ball, it seemed, at every stage of Katrina. So, you know, they didn't do enough in the beginning. Then they just sent a bunch of trailers down there to try and help people out, and all those trailers were in a parking lot somewhere, and people couldn't get access to them.
Right.
So, yeah. So, I talked to some Democratic officials. Mitch Landrieu, who's the mayor of New Orleans, who was, you know, they weren't sure exactly how New Orleans was going to be hit by this, but he had been in contact with federal officials. He was really positive about the way the federal government was responding to it at that point. So, if there's optimism that they can get it done. But they still got to get an aid package through. They still have to do the logistics that are all part of this process. So they've got a long way to go before they can consider their response a success. And how it all ultimately ends up could tell us a lot about Donald Trump's presidency.
Do you expect to be in Florida by the end of the week?
I mean, it's so funny. I was so engrossed in our Harvey coverage that I didn't pay attention to Irma all that much. And when I did, everybody was like, don't worry about this because, you know, the forecast is so far out. And then I woke up this morning and everybody's pretty much convinced that this is going to be a direct hit on the U.S. in some way, shape, or form. The one thing I will tell people is that having been in Texas and listened to the meteorologists down there and read up a lot about it, even if Irma ends up being a Category 5 storm, which it could end up being, the hurricane itself was not what was so damaging to Texas. It was the fact that the storm essentially just stalled over the southern and eastern portion of the state and just rained and rained and rained. And you got a city that's predominantly under sea level, and there's just nowhere for that water to go. So there's no reason to believe that just because this storm is big that we're going to end up with the same problem. But I think everybody's bracing for the worst because this storm looks enormous right now, and you just don't know what's going to end up happening.
We'll do traffic, come back. Andre will ask you about DACA, and we'll throw in a little North Korea for fun, too. God, just a good haircut, some chocolate, and maybe, you know, premium cable, and maybe Kim Jong-un lightens up. That's all I'm saying. It's our friend Ryan Nobles from CNN, and Andrea, you wanted to ask him about?
Wanted to ask you about DACA. I know we go from a good response, Ryan, in Texas from the Trump administration now to this, that we've learned that the president plans to fade out DACA. He'll do it via Jeff Sessions, we believe, at 10 o'clock this morning. Good thing, bad thing, what are your thoughts?
Well, this is the president making good on a campaign promise, essentially. You know, it's part of his heavy-handed view of immigration that that DACA, which was an executive program put in place by President Obama, makes it more apt for undocumented or illegal immigrants to come across the border with their children. The big question I have today is this something where he just says, I think the program is a bad idea and I want to get rid of it? Or does he hide behind the idea that it was executive overreach by the Obama administration and that he's going to put it on Congress to come up with some sort of actual law that has a process in place for the children of undocumented immigrants that they can find a safe place here in the United States? That's what's unclear. You know, he put out a tweet this morning and he kind of put it on Congress and said, Congress, do your job. I mean, there are certainly members of the Trump administration, I think Jeff Sessions being the best example of that, who don't think that we should necessarily be opening our doors to the children of undocumented immigrants. But I think the president wants to have it both ways, where he makes the program a little bit tougher, but he also wants to act as though he's this benevolent leader who is welcoming these young people into the country. You know, it's interesting how presidents work when they use whether or not executive overreach is a big problem. You know, the president was really upset that Congress kind of tied his hands on Russia, saying that they were taking on too much power. But here he has an issue where, you know, he holds all the keys, and now he's saying that Congress needs to do take some action. So it's funny how it works. Depending on the issue, you can decide how much authority you want, I guess.
Well, we don't know what he wants because we don't know that he knows what he wants. There's a video that came up this weekend from 2011 where he's making a pretty impassioned plea as a citizen to protect immigrants and to protect Dreamers before they were called Dreamers. Mm-hmm. That seemed to be more real than this move this weekend, which is partly political and partly whoever.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well,
Well, we can always count on Dean. Unlike our old friend Lourdes Duarte, we haven't heard from since she took over that 4 o'clock news.
Now, very, she's been very, on
she's
with
a,
us.
Such a big shot now.
Just not
sure
in studio.
Is she have that rule at Channel 9 where no one can look her in the eye?
Yeah. I got called into the office because I said hello to her.
Yeah.
Hey, Lourdes. I hadn't seen her in a long time, you know, because she was on the morning shift. Hey, Lourdes. I saw her in the afternoon. And, you know, she, like, begrudgingly said hello to me. And then I'd say, suddenly, I'm in HR.
Did you get hi, Dean.
Yeah, none of that's true, by the way.
She says she is going to come in studio visit you and
I
see
said
you.
I'm
going to
regrow my hair. Hey, what happened to Lil Wayne?
Well, over the weekend, he was actually doing...
I mean, just in general. Yeah, no, over the weekend.
besides chronically needing his pants to be pulled up. By the way, I was in a story yesterday. Normally, the pants hanging down doesn't bother me at all. Because I just think it's, you know, like when we were kids, we wore stupid stuff that our parents didn't like. So
hey, careful. That leisure suit looked good on me.
Like parachute pants?
The pants pulled down look doesn't bother me. But I was at some store waiting in line to, you know, pay for my purchase, and the guy in front of me had his pants literally under his butt cheeks. He may as well have not had any pants on at all.
It's just completely uncomfortable.
And it's
why would
gross
you? Why,
too.
Why would you
wouldn't
do?
You be afraid? I just would just be afraid. He had underwear on.
Yeah, but I don't know why you'd want to walk like that. Have you ever tried to walk like, you know, it's the end of a day and you unbutton your pants.
Right. You go and walk inside your house careful. And the first thing you undo is undo your pants.
But then your really? Pants droop.
Yeah.
Like you ever try to walk up a flight of stairs with pants unbuttoned?
No.
I mean, it's a risk involved. What are you doing walking in a Walgreens with your pants half down?
Girls don't do that. I mean, right, Andrea?
When would we ever do that? We just don't do it.
No. Even at the dinner table, some people do it. They undo their pants. It's kind of gross.
Thanksgiving is the exception.
It would be funny to see a table full of women start unbuttoning their skirts.
Our blouses.
Well?
From the bottom. I don't mean the top.
Okay. It's a totally exactly. different
that
movie
came
in my
bad.
Head.
Oh, sorry.
This took a weird turn.
Sorry.
I never yeah, expected it.
All right, so Lil Wayne had a seizure.
He was in Chicago. He's had a history of seizures, but had a seizure at his hotel room. Actually,
is he epileptic?
He is epileptic. They took him to Northwestern, where he has been since Saturday. And his daughter has tweeted that he's doing better. Don't believe everything you read. They say, she says, but he has been in Northwestern. He had another minor seizure. When he got to the hospital, according to Reuters. But his daughter says that he's doing better. So
well, good. And we wish him nothing but the best. Is Lil Wayne's daughter named Tiny or something? I mean, if your dad's no. Lil Wayne.
No, her name is Regine. Oh. Regine, I believe her name is. Okay. But I wonder if he's in a little bed in the hospital.
Sure he is. And they had to order the George Costanza Tiny Tools to work on him.
Right.
Remember the Tiny Tools from the squirrel episode?
Little hospital bed, a little hospital tray.
Yeah, they get the little nurses, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, the little nurses working on Lil Wayne.
Yeah, Lil, not little. Lil.
Lil nurses.
It's Fitty. Yeah. He's yeah. Lil. Yeah.
Yep.
There's a dot. There's a line outside his room. It says, "Must be this short to be Lil Wayne's doctor."
If you're too tall, they don't let you in.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift, CMAs, Jeff Garland, all on the agenda with Dean when we come back. First, it's traffic with Mary.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 972. Oh,
oh, oh. 8:25, back to Dean at Channel 9. So why is Taylor Swift getting booed?
Well, she was in the wedding of one of her close personal friends. And who hasn't gotten booed when you stood up in a wedding, really? If you think about it.
She got booed at the wedding?
She was at the wedding. She was a bridesmaid for her high school friend, Abigail Anderson.
Well, it's very nice of her.
Very nice of her, and she looked very beautiful.
It's also very nice of the bride to invite her, because you can imagine the cluster outside, I would think.
Well, that's the problem. Diehard fans found out that she was at the wedding. This was in Martha's Vineyard. And so they waited outside the church, you know, waiting for Taylor to come outside so they could get a glimpse. But as the wedding party was leaving the church, Taylor Swift's bodyguard set up sort of a makeshift screen, a human fence, if you will, to block the view of the fans that had waited outside. And the fans got mad. And when the wedding party was leaving, the fans started booing and yelling, "Hey, we thought you loved your fans. What's up with all this? All we want to do is to get a look at you."
Well, why is she not? Look, you're famous. All the things that go with being famous, being rich, being famous, the vast majority of those are positive. But why can't she go to her friend's wedding and you know, leave as she wants to leave?
Well, you know, like, I guess I don't want to say you give that up when you're in public life, but when you're in public life, you're in public life.
But isn't there something amongst women, too, where you don't want to steal her thunder?
Totally. I was just going to say, you don't want to steal the bride's thunder.
Yeah.
So I kind of give Taylor some props for staying away,
if that's the reason she did
yeah.
it. Well, she didn't stay away. I mean, she was there and she walked, but her bodyguards you know, blocked the view of the fans who were waiting outside. It's not like they came in the church or, you know, or anything like that. They were waiting outside.
It's an awkward position to be in. I know anytime I've been a bridesmaid, I try not to get in the bride's way.
Do you also have the same problem, Steve, that I do, is what do I do with these dresses after I wear them
sure.
one time at the wedding?
Sure.
And let
absolutely.
Me tell you, you don't ever wear them again as a cocktail
you,
dress.
Oh,
let
sing
me
it,
just
girl.
Tell you.
Mm-hmm. Sing it, girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amount of money I spent
right.
in the summer of 84.
Mm-hmm. 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 And for me, just on electrolysis on my back.
Hey, speaking
there.
Of hair, One of the Duck Dynasty brothers shaved his beard.
Really?
Does he get kicked out of Duck Dynasty for this?
I would think that that would be a major violation of Duck Dynasty rules. I'm not up on all my Duck Dynasty.
No, I'm not either, but gossip, I saw this morning. Jace, J-A-S-E. I'm not quite sure where that name came from. Jace shaved his beard. It was quite a thing, I'm told.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's big news.
Yeah. Well, this is the breaking stuff we have for you the day after Labor Day.
Did he get all his teeth fixed?
No, I think he was the attractive one, wasn't he?
Was he?
Yeah, he looks better without the beard.
Yeah. CMA nominations are out?
Came out yesterday, oddly. I don't know why they released them on a holiday, but they did. And Miranda Lambert got the most number of nominations. She led the way with a total of five nominations, including single, song, and album of the year. This is her 11th nomination now for Female Vocalist of the Year. She won that six times between the years 2010 and 2015. But coming in second place, tying, Little Big Town and Keith Urban each got four nominations apiece. The CMA nominations will be given out in Nashville on November 8th.
I could not name one Miranda Lambert hit. Now, keep in mind, I used to be a disc jockey. This is not a knock on Miranda Lambert. I think this is a compliment to Miranda Lambert. Not that I can't name any of her hits, but that she is pure music. You know, I mean, she gets awarded year after year after mm-hmm. year after year. You're not seeing her doing judging on award shows. You're not seeing her on every entertainment show. She seems to be scandal-free. All she does is bring it.
Very true. Very true. If I heard her songs, I would recognize them, because I'm not a huge country music fan myself. But she's among the most successful country music artists. I shouldn't even say country music artists. I'm sure if you look at the
pure sales, got to be huge.
Total income across the board, she has to be one of the most successful recording artists in the world right now.
I come from my childhood, my father would watch Hee Haw on Saturday night in the three-channel universe. And the song that stuck with me through all these years, I'd like to sing it for you now, Dean. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me.
Wow.
And by the way, that was a good Saturday.
Wow. And I thought you were just good at spoken word.
And
I
then
remember that.
Buck Owens would flash in with a joke.
Yes. Well, they'd jump out of Cornfield County.
Yeah, that's what I liked doing. It was Buck Owens and Roy Clark, right?
They uh-huh.
sort of
yeah.
the host.
Yeah.
They would pop out of the cornfield and tell a joke, and then was it Grandpa? Was that
Grandpa Jones? He was actually a physicist, part-time Grandpa
right?
and full-time physicist. Yeah, he worked at Fermilab.
I did not know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, true story.
I did not know
I don't
that.
Make stuff up.
At least you guys got to watch Hee Haw. I had to watch Lawrence Welk.
A one and a two. That's it.
Oh, yeah. The bubbles. Oh, I just wanted to pop them all.
I will admit, when I'm flipping around on channels, I'll see an old Lawrence Welk show. Some channel runs them all the time, and I'll stop and watch them because I can't believe how awful it was.
Oh, let me tell you about awful TV. You know what I saw yesterday? I was doing some work and I'm flipping through the channels because you know that's what you do. Decades is a Bill Curtis thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's good.
They run Ed Sullivan shows. Ed Sullivan was one of the longest running TV shows in history and a regular thing when we were kids. He was awful. Yeah. Awful. Yeah. Maybe the worst host I've ever seen on TV.
But that's why he was so imitated, wasn't it? I mean, that's...
Yeah, but I mean, just...
Really big shoe.
God awful. I think he was a writer, right, for one of the New York papers.
He was like the cop of New York, right?
Yeah, and somebody gave him a TV show and it just stuck.
I bet he loved to hear that. You were the year of cups in it.
Right, well, but I'm right.
He was like head
right?
of Hopper. I mean, he was big time nationally.
Yeah. Yeah.
God, was he terrible on TV. Right, I'm over it.
Are they rerunning any of your shows on the Decades
yeah.
channel?
Yeah, CLTV. They run the CLTV hour over and over again. CLTV joins us at 9, by the way. There is a multi-network telethon for hurricane relief. Unfortunately, they may have to include Irma in this by the time it airs. It's not It's 2 weeks out? When is it? I saw the story this morning. I don't have the details in front of me. And then you saw our friend Jeff Garland when you were in L.A.
I did. I spent the whole day on the set of The Goldbergs, which is coming to WGN-TV starting September 11th. It'll air weeknights at 10:30 p.m. and also 11 p.m., so you get two episodes per night. This is a really funny show. Jeff is the star of Goldbergs, and they had just finished production on the new and very much anticipated season of Curb Your Enthusiasm as well, and he gave us a few details on that.
October 1st.
Are you done with production?
With production.
Okay.
And I think that people will be pleasantly surprised. You know, I don't want to, the show's just going to be the same. You know, it's, the tone is the same that every, that people love. We're not just going to change things up. But the storyline this year, it's a bit, yeah.
Okay.
But you know what's so funny is, before Trump, all storylines could be shocking in one degree or another. But now, nothing shocking.
Right.
Nothing shocking.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Does that play into the story?
Not at all.
At all? None of the politics, anything's going to
be part of it? No. I don't think Larry would want to give him the gratification. You know, I could see Trump saying, biggest ratings for Curb ever, because of who?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So yeah. Were you shooting Curb and Goldbergs at the same time?
I was shooting Curb and Goldbergs at the same time. If I wasn't at one, I was at the other. Some days both. And I had 1 week off. I had Christmas to New Year's off. And other than that, I was filming both. It was very tiring. You know, if I was 25 years old, 30 years old, it would have been, who cares? But I'm 55, a little bit tough, you know? And I know people out there work hard, and I work hard when I work, so it's exhausting.
So he talked about Curb, he talked about the Goldbergs, talked about the Cubs, told us he's preparing a one-man show for Broadway. That's actually, that is... like, you know, scoopage.
What band is he playing?
He's playing himself. It's kind of a, you know, a one-man biographical kind of deal that he's doing.
Okay. Listen, I love Jeff. There's nothing not to like about Jeff Garland. Just one of the best guys you'll run across in the swinging, swirling world of showbiz. My prediction for the Curb season is one of two things. Either Larry woos his wife back. What is it? The woman that played his wife for all those years?
Cheryl
woman. Woos her back, or he's a man whore, and it's nothing but celebrity walk-ons. That's my prediction, Dean.
A man whore, you say?
Yeah, man whore, yeah. So it's nothing but celebrity walk-ons, you know, hot women from Hollywood who Larry ends up canoodling.
Hmm.
That's my prediction, Dean, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, we'll find out soon.
Kim Jong-un, episode 5.
Oh, jeez.
We'll find out soon about that and so much more on the
hey, if that's all
on
it
the
would
curb,
take,
Steve. More importantly than that, mm-hmm. I talked to him and I'll have this later in the week. You know, Jeff has sort of become like well known for being in the show in his underpants.
Yes,
and we talked extensively about his tidy whitey scenes, and I think you'll find most interesting. The preparation that he has to go through before executing any of his tighty-whitey scenes.
Right, according to the censors.
And we come full circle that he should be wearing pants.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. '80s dads wore pants, like Aunt Jeff. So
let me just say that we learned that...
you learned too much.
Foam inserts are involved in the tighty-whitey scenes.
Oh, God.
That's all I'll tell you right now.
And the point I made to Dean the other day off the air... By the way, Dean came in the other day. It was delightful having Dean in studio.
I was there on Friday, right?
Yeah, very nice to have you here.
I seem to remember that.
And but the point I made to Dean off the air is he's 55. Nothing's moving. Nothing's moving. Nothing's moving. This is the censors have nothing to worry about.
Not according to him.
Okay.
So good to know.
According
I'm going
to him,
write this down
there's
here.
There's plenty moving.
Yeah, I'll call him.
55, nothing moves. Okay, I'm going to write that down.
Yeah, well, no, I'm Jeff.
I know.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
By the way, that benefit, September 12th for Harvey.
It's September 12th.
Yeah.
Okay. And let's hope I'm wrong and hope Irma misses mainland U.S. and misses everybody and just goes out to sea. We'll come back with a big story next at 720 WGN. Well, see, hi and congratulations to our friend Brandon Faber from the Bears offices. A dad for the third time, I believe.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, I believe.
He's got twins.
Little baby girl born, was it late last night?
Last evening.
Yeah.
Aww.
Maddie.
Madeline Kay.
Yeah, good for him.
Beautiful name.
And the twins are probably three or four now, so they get to be, kind of in charge and vice presidential roles.
Yes,
in
yes.
the house.
They get promoted.
But Brandon's a great guy.
He is.
And I know the Bears love him. Listen, a couple of things to update you on Houston. Speaking of sports, J.J. Watt may get a street named after him for all that he did. J.J. Watt Parkway. They want to rename State Highway 99 after J.J. Watt's fundraising efforts went from, well, we hope to raise $200,000 to what's the number this morning? I don't even know. Is he at 20 million? He's got to be close.
It's got to be close to that. I can find it in one second. But it's, and while he's doing that, he's still got these trucks. They're filling with goods, which I know there's been some talk, which you really, the most effective thing is to send money.
Yeah.
But he's also sending goods and rounding that stuff up, some in Wisconsin. And,
18.5 million is the number as of this morning, and
actually,
I believe
it's 19.7 now.
That's my point. 19.7 million is the number, and you can go to youcaring.com, youcaring.com. Just search JJ Watt. It's actually on the cover page, and you can donate right there.
Can you believe that?
So the 20 million is the current goal. They'll probably blow past that in another hour.
Wow.
19,734,000.
That's not bad.
And didn't Facebook do a matching too? Something like if you share it on Facebook, they were going to match a portion too?
Like $37 per share or something.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Why was it $37?
I don't know. That's on the homepage for this You Caring.
Yeah.
Because every share can raise $37. Mm-hmm. And they've had 480,000 shares.
Wow. Well, that's a nice number. That'll add up as well. Meanwhile, James Harden, the biggest basketball star in Houston and arguably top three in the NBA, James Harden gave some money. Let's go live to former Houston resident Mike Jake Jacobson, who is standing outside of James Harden's home right now. Mike, how much money did Harden give?
Well, it's a very large home, Steve, just to tell you right
now.
Are
you sure you're at the right house?
Yeah. I wouldn't go with certain landscaping that he has and in front
the
of
the statue
house.
Of himself.
Yeah, that and, you know, the rose bushes this time of year, they just don't bloom as well.
Well, you know, it's rough weather. So how much did he give?
$1 million.
That's very nice. Very nice. $1 million. And at this point, do we know if President Trump's $1 million donation has been confirmed? No, we don't. You know why? Because he didn't give to Sandy, and he's probably not going to give to Houston. It doesn't count if you say it. You actually have to give the money.
We'll just check his tax returns. Oh.
And finally, the people of Wisconsin have stepped up. The state of Wisconsin is donating collectively 17,000 pounds of cheese to storm-ravaged Houston. Let me tell you something. Cheese, there's a reason they give out cheese to people who are struggling. That'll fill you up and keep you going for a while.
Yeah.
17,000 pounds of cheese being sent to Greater Houston to food banks and places where it can be redistributed there. So a little roundup of what's happening as Irma bears down. We hope we're wrong about this, but the models now show Miami is likely to be in the path of Hurricane Irma by the weekend, currently out in the middle of the ocean and over warm 86, 87 degree water in a Cat 5.
The hourly forecast for Miami on Sunday during when they're supposed to be playing the Dolphins-Buccaneers game, I think at 1 p.m., 96-mile-per-hour winds.
Yeah. So let's check the hourly. I don't think we can play golf in this.
No kidding.
It could definitely affect the kicking game.
Yeah, a little bit. Well, we hope those models are wrong, but the models in Houston were exactly right.
Right.
And when we saw the models in Houston say 50 inches of rain was possible, we thought somebody's got a broken computer.
Oh, yeah. Didn't you think that when they said 50?
Oh, we thought it was crazy.
So wait, 15? No, 50.
Crazy.
And it's in excess of that.
So let's just hope and pray that Irma will miss South Florida. And also the island. You know, unfortunately, somebody's going to get hit. But you would hope it would take a hard right and steer itself out over the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
There's one track here that has it going back into the Gulf.
I know.
Like scooting up the west side of Florida, and if it gets into the Gulf, you can head for New Orleans, or if it took a hard left, head back towards Texas.
Yeah.
You don't want a piece of this storm at all. Cat 5 right now, 175 mile an hour sustained winds. It is 8:54. Traffic from Mary.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on the griddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy.
9:13. How's our friend Orion Samuelson doing? Well, there's one way to find out. Ask him. Good morning, O.
Hey, good morning. I'm doing very well, thank you, and hope everyone there is too.
The weekend and the Labor Day holiday makes me think of harvest time. Are we close?
We are close. As a matter of fact, we have started some harvest in extreme southern Illinois. And down toward the Gulf, they were doing harvesting before Hurricane Harvey. Hurricane Harvey apparently affecting the cotton crop probably more than anything else at the moment, because we're a few weeks away from harvest on the cotton crop, and it can't take this kind of wet weather as we go into the harvest. But all in all, we have backed off, I think, from expectations for some extremely higher yields in corn and soybeans, but it should be a pretty good year again if we don't get a string of hurricanes coming through.
What's under the gun in Florida if Irma makes landfall?
Well, under the gun in Florida, of course, the citrus crop, and that's nearing maturity, the oranges and the grapefruit and all of that. Florida is also a major cattle state. They produce and feed a lot of cattle in Florida, so they'll be concerned about losing cattle to Hurricane Irma. So, yes, obviously they don't want a visit from Hurricane Irma at this point.
Andrea, say hi to our friend Orion Samuelson.
Orion, hi. Hi to Gloria.
Where have you
miss
been,
you.
Andrea?
Oh, I took a little staycation. You would have been very happy, though, Orion. I went to Michigan for a day and a half, and I went to the local farmer's market on one of the days and bought my corn, my mirai, and I got my tomatoes. It was fantastic.
And, of course, in Michigan, you know, there's a great orchard belt in southwestern Michigan.
Yes.
Around Benton Harbor, St. Joe.
Right around there, St. Joe, yes.
And so every year they harvest a lot of apples, and they're harvesting more grapes and turning them into wine for some reason. I don't know why. But
I didn't know that.
Yes, yeah, you're finding vineyards in southwestern Michigan. So
very nice. Well, I wanted to ask you, since it is September, about the pumpkin crop this year.
Haven't heard anything about the pumpkin crop or the size of it. So I would guess that, yes, the pumpkin crop will be a good one. Illinois, of course, produces more pumpkins than anybody in the world. There's a plant down by Peoria that I think is the biggest single processor of soybeans in the country. I think it's a Libby's plant, and they make the canned pumpkins that go into your pumpkin pies and all of that. And for Halloween, yeah, there will be plenty of pumpkins to harvest. And now, of course, this time of the year, the farmers' markets start turning to Halloween, putting up, there are corn mazes. One of the things I like about Culver's, they have a campaign called Thank the Farmers.
Yeah.
And
they're good people, the founders of Culver's.
Yeah, right. And they have partnered with, I think, farmers in 19 states. They did this in the spring to establish corn mazes that say, thank you, farmers, for what you do.
Isn't that cool?
And it really is. And, of course, come Halloween time, that's when the farmers markets that do the mazes open up, and people can have the opportunity to walk through a corn maze and get lost. So,
Dave, do you have a question for the legend Orion Samuelson?
Well, I do, but since we're on the subject.
He's the legend Orion Samuelson.
Yes. Mr. your legend, sir.
No.
He prefers your legendness.
You're legendary.
No, he doesn't.
No, I know he doesn't. Since we're on the subject of corn mazes, I'm always fascinated the elaborate corn mazes you see pop up this time of year. And how do they design them? I know they've got schematics and they figure it out, probably aerial shots. But some of them are so elaborate. It must be just an amazing amount of work to get them done.
Yeah, they're all works of art, right?
They really are, but thanks to the computer and computer mapping, they're able to do that. And yes, they do use aerial views. But the one here in Illinois that's a part of fall every year is saluting the World Series victory of the Chicago Cubs. And they lay it out in the spring with the computer mapping. And then, of course, as it grows and now we approach harvest time, they go in and with the computer, again, into the harvest machine, they're able to carve out what you see from the air. And keep an eye out as you come into O'Hare, depending on which direction you're coming in. But you will be able to see this one from the air as you approach O'Hare from the right distance, the right direction. So,
speaking of all of this, North Korea's front page news, as you know. Did they grow anything there?
Not very much. That's why their people continue to live in a world of starvation. And, you know, there are countries that trade with them. But as the president said, if you're a country that trades with North Korea, then you're helping to establish their nuclear program. And so you've got to stop doing it. And they are continually in a stage of hunger in North Korea. And without the trade with countries that can supply them with food, things will get even worse. So, but it is disrupting trade possibilities for us. And there's a lot of concern what it could do because, interestingly enough, just to the south, South Korea, they are a major buyer of U.S. corn and have bought millions of tons of corn since the first of the year. And if we were to lose that market for some trade reason, it would change the economics of corn growers here in the U.S.
The president continues to talk of trade wars. Look, nobody's been more out front about this than you have for years, that international trade deals cannot be walked back because it's certain death if you do. And it's nothing but bad because it's not a one-way thing. It doesn't occur in a vacuum. If suddenly we decide we're not going to trade with everybody that does business with North Korea, well, that happens to include China. And what do you think China will do? They'll immediately fire back at us. So that's nothing but political talk, right?
Basically, yeah, because trade is important. And the interesting thing I'm watching now, you know, he said we're going to get rid of NAFTA and that's it. Well, then, of course, he backed down and said we will renegotiate NAFTA, which they are now doing. Over the weekend, they held the second session in Mexico City with Canadian, Mexican, and U.S. trade negotiators. And I'm a little more optimistic. I think we are going to find some common ground in the trade agreement, whether it be the North American Free Trade Agreement. The Trans-Pacific Partnership is no longer being considered with the United States, at least. But so far, it's been, I think, more talk than action on just throwing out NAFTA. We're now renegotiating, and so I'm watching that with a great deal of interest. So,
there's technology that gets developed first in outer space more than anything else, which is why the space program is so important. But there's also a lot of technology that we end up using that gets perfected on the farms. And farmers were using drones long before drones became a regular household word. Now I'm watching as the insurance companies are using drones to fly over the flood-ravaged Houston right. area and greater Texas to have a sense of what they need to pay for.
Drones, a toy for some people, but yes, a major tool for agriculture. If you're a rancher in the West and you have trouble finding some cattle that stray from the herd, a drone will do it a lot faster than a cowboy and a horse. And, of course, with the technology, the sensor technology, they can now put on the drone. And this, incidentally, last week, of course, we were at Farm Progress Show, and drones were a major attraction at that show because you can put sensors on that will tell you your moisture level in the middle of a field. It can tell you if you have an insect problem, if you have a disease problem, if you have a low fertility problem. And they can do all of that from the air with the sensors on the drones. So it definitely is a tool and not a toy for agriculture.
Good education as always by you. What else are you working on this week?
Well, I tell you what, got to mention the fact, the Sandwich Fair starts tomorrow.
There you go.
And that goes through Sunday at Sandwich, Illinois. Max Armstrong will be there with the band at noon tomorrow. I'll be there on Thursday at noon on the stage. And one of these years, I'm going to get you out there to help me judge the beef cook-off.
Bella.
Because we're judging the beef cook-off Thursday afternoon at about 2 o'clock.
Well, what's the lake down there? Because we have very good friends, the Roth family, who have a beautiful home. And, well, the Huber family and the Pierce family, they all have homes on the lake there. I can't think of the name of the lake.
Oh, yeah.
You're right there in Sandwich.
Yeah, it is right there, just southwest of Sandwich.
But anyway, it's a great little town.
It is. And the fairgrounds.
Lake Holiday. That's it, okay. Lake Holiday.
The fair is, I think I wrote a foreword for the history book of the fair when it was 125 years old, and that was quite a few years ago.
Orion, so, is that the fair where you, is that when you were judging the beef when it started to rain and Gloria said you're going to get off the stage right now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Remember that, Steve?
Yeah. You don't mess with Nurse Gloria.
No,
you don't mess with Gloria. She's in charge, and you don't mess with her. But
you weren't feeling great, and you said, I'm going to judge the beef contest, and she said, no, you're not. She's the best.
So I'm going to give it another try this week. But invite everybody to come to the Sandwich Fair.
Sure.
And we're getting toward the end of the fair season. As a matter of fact, in the Midwest, I think the last county fair on my list is the county fair in my home county of Vernon County, Wisconsin, where more years ago than I can count, I showed a Guernsey heifer, and I got, I think, third place. That was about as good as I could do with my Guernsey heifer.
Do you remember the name?
No,
I don't. Did you name your Guernsey heifer?
Well, of course. Of course. You named all your cows on a dairy farm that had only 30 milk cows.
Sure.
Yeah, but I don't remember. Nope.
Might be a good name that William and Harry or William and Kate could use for the new baby.
Well, it could be. I must say I did have a 4-H-er name a steer after me, and named a steer after Max and a steer after me. So
quite an honor.
It is, absolutely. I never heard how well the steer did in the show ring, but I'm sure both of them did very well.
No doubt about it. It's Orion Samuelson, the legend. Happy to have you on, as always. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Thank you all, and have a good
day.
See you,
Biggo.
And hi to Gloria, Nurse Gloria. All right. Quick break back after this on 720 WGN. Story from the Trib yesterday. Kim Jansen on the byline. Cardinal Blaise Supich got some credit last week for helping to put Rauner and Madigan on the compromise page to get the school funding bill done. But there's a tale from the Omaha World Herald. Remember Blaise Supich came from Omaha? About Blaise Supich's father, his late father, Blaise Supich Sr. He was a retired rural mailman who was elected to Omaha's Sarpy County Council in 1976. And according to the World Herald's account, by the way, I love the fact that there's a paper in Omaha called the World Herald, or there was. The World Herald's account of Supich, the elder's victory over a rival incumbent, had a little Chicago politics built in. The campaign, it writes, was colorful and ended in controversy when Supich's rival workers found more than 300 pieces of mail they have sent were returned undelivered. One sent back by a postal worker was marked with the words, "Vote for Supich." The Cardinals recently ordained priest, then in his mid-20s at the time, said he remembers the race but does not believe the story. He says, "I know the postal workers took their responsibilities to deliver the mail very seriously. Their opponents were never able to produce this letter. It would have been a federal crime." Mm-hmm. Supich instead remembers his father, who died in 2003, as an inspiration, who got involved in politics because his opponent would not support a Meals on Wheels program for the elderly. That's how you kill a story.
Yes.
Oh, you mean my dad who did the Meals on Wheels program for the elderly? Oh, yeah. He's a criminal.
Right. And then the end part, too, this is a really good article. His father was twice reelected, was battling Parkinson's disease when he was first elected, but he said he still wanted to get involved so he could make a difference.
Yeah, I said people should always get involved. So I'm torn because I really want to believe that Blaise Supich's father was some sort of political deal maker, a little bit of a shyster. But then again, I really like Cardinal Supich, and if he says didn't happen, didn't happen.
I like him too.
So these are the problems I have. It's 9:31. We'll come back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
.942 We had planned on having Kevin White on at this point, but I don't know if something has come up. Anyway, the Bears are efforting Kevin White. Not a real word. And if we can get him before 10, we'll grab him. So if not, we'll move on. But in the meantime, we want Kevin White to do really well.
Yes, we do.
Really, really well.
Coach Fox probably does, too.
Yeah, I just got to tell you, I think it's the type of thing that is he the one that catches? Catch the ball?
Funny.
Couple of things from our friends at the Shedd Aquarium. In case you missed this, the Shedd is going to ask you to hashtag clear your schedule this September. S-H-E-D-D-U-L-E. 24 consecutive free days at the Shedd start tomorrow.
How cool is that?
That's a lot of revenue.
Yeah.
24 straight free days at the Shedd.
To Illinois residents.
You have to prove you're an Illinois resident?
I think you have to show an Illinois driver's license, yeah.
A
license, you know, some sort of ID card. Yeah,
yeah, I make those.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice. Okay.
All-inclusive access to the aquarium's 32,000 animals, aquatic presentation, special exhibit, and more. Clear your schedule. S-H-E-D-D-U-L-E. That is the hashtag. And they're also showcasing the sneak preview of Washed Ashore, Art to Save the Sea. Shedd Aquarium welcoming the first installation of a massive colorful sculpture from Washed Ashore. It's a traveling exhibit that debuts on September 23rd, featuring Stella the Seahorse.
Oh.
It's cool. I've talked about this before. This is one of the great museum towns, and I rarely go.
Oh, my God.
I've been to the Shedd a million times, you know, and I've been to all of them. Mm-hmm. But I love the Adler. I haven't been to the Adler in 10 years.
You can do a two-for-one. They're right by each other. You can go to one and then the other.
Isn't it funny? It seems like the only time you go to the museum is when somebody from out of town is here and you have to take them.
Yeah.
It's true.
It's so dumb. We should be going all the time.
Yeah, great resources.
You said it when you were talking about the Shedd. All the museums throughout the year offer free days. You know, like there's a couple a month. But this is really cool that this is 50 days in a row, 52 days in a row.
The only one I probably don't miss in going to is the Museum of Modern Art, our Museum of Modern Art, down by the Hancock.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because they rejected my finger paintings. Yeah, and I thought those would be cool, but they said no.
What if you just stood in a room and, you know, painted the wall and people could come and watch you? Yeah.
I bet they'd take one of Abigail's if you brought one of hers.
That could be. Yeah, because one of the other things I just suggested was forehead murals, and if you're watching on CLTV now... The idea would be that we would have acclaimed artists do a mural on my forehead. Imagine. I mean, with this kind of space, you know, and it's getting more every day.
It'd be very colorful.
You know, you could do a lot with this space completely.
Yeah. I mean, you could also monetize it, Steve.
Well, you know, we talked about that too, right? Promotional space.
You could get a big tat there.
A forehead tattoo. Tat?
Yeah.
A foretat?
You should.
No, but then that would be permanent and you couldn't do different advertisers.
The best way to go, I still maintain, are three separate ads.
Yeah.
One goes on the bald spot back here. One goes on the top area here. And the other goes up front. And then, what is it, about 10 seconds when the digital billboards change? Is that probably right?
Yeah, probably right.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's a 10-second hold. So then I would look to camera, and it'd be 10 seconds. And then I'd go 10 seconds.
Do you want me to write it? Should I take a Sharpie?
And turn around and go
just
10 seconds.
Just shave the whole thing. Then think how much money you could make.
Let me give you an idea of what it would be like.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm just saying, that's a lot of opportunity there. But the museums in this town, I'm advocating all Chicagoans. Do most people do this? We're not unusual, right? None of us who live here take full advantage of the museums.
No. I'm telling you, I bike past the field and the Shedd.
Yeah, you could walk all day.
All the time. Oh, my God. Just take a weekday and go.
Or, you know what's a good time to go is when there's a Bears game, if you're going to the game, go before or after because you're right there.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Field Museum's right
good
there.
Point.
There you go, yeah.
You know, Dave makes a good point because so much of my life is dependent upon parking.
Oh, right. Yeah.
If you can only park once
yes.
and go to two or three places, you're in business.
If you're approaching the age of 50, I'm 56 now, and if you're approaching the age of 50, that's one of the lines of demarcation in life. You hit 50 and you go, what's the parking situation?
Exactly, mm-hmm. right? If we pull into, say, Soldier Field or one of the museums and say, hey, we know Steve Cochran.
Mm-hmm. You can get in for the regular price.
Oh, for the, okay.
Yeah. So the other night over by the East Bank Club, our friend Jimmy DeCastro used to run this place. Thank God we dumped him. Mm-hmm. But Jimmy DeCastro's brand new business, you know, at its grand opening party. And the East Bank Club, you know, was a very popular place, obviously. And getting street parking in front of there doesn't happen very often. Mm-hmm. So it took me a couple of hours to get in from the mobile home in the Western Burbs. I rolled up and there was a space right there.
Oh, perfect.
Street parking. And I caught myself getting excited about street parking. I go, how the hell old am I? I'm now thrilled that I got a street parking spot.
Oh, my God, it's so true.
But then you have to parallel park, which is always fun.
No, it's not a problem.
Are I always, you good at it?
Yeah, I'm good at parallel parking, even in the 2017 Chevy Tahoe.
White lightning.
Sorry.
Not great.
Sorry, Dave. No, that was me. I own it. Sorry.
Now, I will highly tout something. I don't get a dime for saying this. Park Chicago.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's a great app.
It's genius.
Yes.
It's genius. You lock a credit card onto it. It takes about 10 seconds.
Right. Yep.
And you're not walking back and forth looking for the box and jamming a credit card into it.
It's perfect. Yep.
I was at the same event you were at, and I found a space. And
you got street parking as well?
I did find street. There is an area over there where there is almost always street parking.
A legal area?
Yes. Yes.
Is it by the donut vault?
I don't know where the donut vault is.
No.
But I'll tell you where it is next time you go over there.
Off the air.
Yes.
Yeah.
By the way, the new gym. That's not nice. That's to our listeners.
No, listen, well, listeners. No, listeners, get your own talk show. but I will say this. The Jimmy DeCastro company, After the Whistle.
Yeah.
They're high doing end. Great. They're high doing end. Great.
Did you guys, because I was out of town.
Great. They're doing great.
Did you guys get appetizers and stuff like that too? Was there food?
They had giant cookies and food. He had lobster fountains. Yeah, it was crazy.
Martini bar.
Yeah. Everyone left with 3 pounds of caviar. It was crazy.
That's excellent. Free parking.
Hey, you should have come.
It's a good segment. I'm sorry Kevin White missed it. It's 9:49. We're back with more in a moment on 720 WGN. 9:54, Princess Diana rejected the names that Prince Charles wanted to give their sons. I noticed Paul Coit was on Channel 9 this morning. And we're going to get Paul on this week to talk about this story as well. William and Harry, those are great names.
Yes.
Harry, solid.
Totally.
William, solid.
Totally.
They were nearly named something different. The book Diana, Her Story from Andrew Morton revealed that Diana won out because Prince Charles wanted to name the boys something else completely
like Nigel?
Different. I don't see anything about the names in the story. She said it's not going to happen. I guess I'm just mostly amused by the fact that she shut him down.
Yeah, right?
This is somebody who was completely schmitten by the prince, and she said, no, not going to happen. Not going to happen.
Good for her.
Meanwhile, the let me just shift gears one more time here because we're going to go to, in a few minutes, Jeff Sessions. We'll carry this live from ABC. On whatever he has to say about DACA, and you would hope the president would step up and announce this if he's really going to go through with it today as well. But we have one other story from Houston I wanted to get to before we run out of time here. Pets displaced by Hurricane Harvey are coming to town right now.
Yes, many are at pause already.
Oh, you know this?
Yes.
Okay. The 4-vehicle motorcade that pulled into a Little Village parking lot yesterday, crowd went nuts. And a banner unfurled welcoming. We don't know that any of the pets could read, but we do know that they appeared to be happy to be here.
Very much so, yeah.
Did you cover this for TV?
Randy Bellisomo covered this yesterday for Channel 9. It's just a wonderful, heartwarming story. There's a lot of puppies, a lot of kittens, a lot of dogs and cats that need homes. And they're giving them shots and whatnot, too. So a lot of that will already be taken care of.
And as I said, Kevin White didn't make the show today, but we'll have somebody on to talk about this and other Bear stories. The Bears will hold the second annual Miller Lite Chicago Bears Block Party this Saturday, September 9th, in Logan Square to kick off the regular season. Free event goes from noon till 10 p.m. on Milwaukee Avenue between North Spalding Avenue and North Kedzie. Food, booze, a kid zone, family stuff, one detail, ChicagoBears.com/block party.